The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Connected Table Live. We're your hosts, Melanie Young and David Ransom, your insatiably curious culinary couple. Each week we bring you the dynamic people who work front and center and behind the scenes from earth to sky and around the world in wine, food, spirits, and hospitality. We lead a delicious life and we love sharing it with all of our listeners around the world. You're listening live Wednesdays, 2 p.m. on W4CY Radio. And of course, you can hear all our shows anytime, anywhere on your favorite podcast platform. We recommend iHeart, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Of course, you can check out Sante Magazine. We're streamed there and The Connected Table. David and I are back in New York. It is May 19th, 2021. And after almost 9 months away, we're back in New York.
That's right. We're back in New York City. And it is a changed city in a lot of ways. But guess what today is, Melanie?
It's a very big day in New York. Let's give a little love to our friends in the restaurant business, because what's happening today?
Well, it's I like to call it opening day.
Opening day.
Yes. Today the restaurants get to open to full capacity if they choose, and some of them are not choosing to do it that way because they want to still have some COVID requirements in place. But the state is allowing people to open at full capacity and for indoor dining as well. So it really is a banner day for New York City.
It is for a city that was really brought to its knees, in particular the dining community. The ability to reopen at capacity to their choosing is very big for the largest restaurant city in the nation. We've had the chance to walk around the city and visit different restaurants. And it's almost like going to Europe because all the restaurants have tricked out these little outdoor cafes. We were at one of our favorites, Loy Estiatorio, owned by Maria Loy, who's been a guest on the show. It's a fabulous Greek restaurant in East 58th Street. If you do come to New York, we hope you do. But we had our own little dining, it was like our own little tent.
Yeah, it's our own little kiosk.
It was our own little dining kiosk. People have tricked out. There's tricked out pods, yurts, tents, baby cafes for 1 to 4 on stoops, streets. Some are quite ornate with flowers and high tech. Others are just simple tents, but it's been really great. I hope it stays this way.
I love to see the creativity that some of the restaurants came up with as to how they sat people outside, because literally there was one restaurant that we walked past the other night, Il Gatto Pardo, which had it's part of the old Rockefeller townhouse in New York City on 54th Street. And so there are a lot of stoops.
Right.
And every stoop had a table on it.
I couldn't believe that.
It was so neat.
We can't
take enough
pictures.
So everybody basically had a private dining stoop to dine on. It was so much fun.
So we're going to be eating inside tonight for the first time in New York in a very small restaurant. We hope to have the chef owner as a guest on our show in the future, Kamika. It's getting a rave review. It's Italian-Japanese. Can't wait to try it. But so just wanted to share some love. New York City is open for business, and we've been having a really pleasant time since we've been here. We really
absolutely have.
But for today, our show today.
Today we're going back down south, which is where we spent most of the winter.
Mm-hmm. Let's start this way. How do you pronounce P-E-C-A-N?
Pecan.
Me too, pecan. But some people say pecan. And our guests are going to tell us what they call it, because we are taking you, dear listeners, to the heart of Georgia pecan country. Did you know this, that Georgia is the leading pecan-producing state in the United States and accounts for just over a third of production? Interesting. The pecan is native to the Mississippi Valley.
And it's actually part of the hickory nut family.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that. And they were originally called Mississippi nuts or Illinois nuts. Native Americans were the first to have pecans. And actually, they say the pecan actually comes from the Algonquin. That's a New York Indian.
It is.
The Algonquin New York Indian word pecan, meaning nuts, requiring a stone to crack. Early settlers exchanged pecans for trinkets and tools. That's kind of like oysters up here. Mm-hmm. People did that. Thomas Jefferson planted pecans around Monticello. I hope he did it with pecan trees better with pecans than wine, because he failed miserably at making wine.
He did do that. As did George Washington.
Many years later, at the Civil War, small pecan farmers started popping up in Georgia. And by 1871, several large pecan groves had been planted throughout the Southeast, including Georgia. The pecan production really elevated in Georgia in 1800s. In Albany, not New York, Albany, Georgia, is Pecan Central. And that's where we're taking you now, to a family that has been cultivating pecans and processing since 1948, which is also when I think the pecan industry took off in a big way.
And they're now in their fourth generation, which is super neat.
Yes. Yeah. And so we have family members on. So the name of the company is Sunnyland Farms. It is family owned. And we have fourth generation owner, Alex Wilson, and Stacy Wilson, his wife, on. They're very actively involved with Alex's father, Larry Wilson, who's president and CEO. And this is a business that's been around since 1948, and it's all family grown. So this is very historic. So welcome, Alex and Stacy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you know, we're just curious why Albany is the center for pecans. Because we also know peanuts are big in Georgia too, right?
They are. Yes, they are. So Albany, it's a great question. So it's one of those things where, you know, maybe it's a little bit self-proclaimed, but we also have a whole lot of pecan trees. So Albany is located in Daugherty County, and, you know, at one point, Daugherty County, Lee County, directly to the north, and Mitchell County, to the south, had the largest amount of pecan trees in the world. You know, we still have a whole lot of trees, and there are a lot more being planted, and so we still consider ourselves the pecan capital of the world as well, and we grow a great pecan.
So, you know, we had to get a map out to figure where Albany is. I used to live in Atlanta. We've been to Savannah. Okay. We've driven down to Valdosta, because you always go through Valdosta to get to Florida. Where's Albany? It's a big state.
It's nowhere near any of those places, actually. So,
we figured that out when we realized we were trying to go visit. We couldn't, because we couldn't fit it into the road trip. But where, for our listeners, is it exactly? And what's the closest big city?
So we are in the southwest part of the state. So we're about 3 hours southwest of Atlanta, about an hour and a half from Valdosta. And if you're going, you know, down I-75 from Atlanta to Valdosta, we're about 40 minutes southwest of Cordele, which is right off I-75, off exit 99. So we're in the southwest part of the state, about an hour from Columbus, which is to the west, right on the Alabama line.
Yeah, and for Florida reference, it's basically due north of Tallahassee. So so somewhere,
exactly.
somewhere north of the Panhandle.
But it's not Florabama.
No.
It's not Florabama. We were in the Panhandle. I think we were due south of you at one point in our road trip.
Yes, because we spent some time on the Forgotten Coast in Florida and enjoyed that a little bit while we were traveling around this past January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how did Sunnyland is family owned. How did your family get into the business?
So Sunnyland has kind of an interesting story. It was actually started as Wilson Farming Company by my great grandfather, who lived in Atlanta and was a businessman in Atlanta, and bought the farm back in 1926. And so the farming piece has been around since 1926. He purchased the farm when the trees were 5 years old. And then in 1948, my grandparents actually started what is now Sunnyland Farms. And they lived in Atlanta. My grandfather was working in a consulting firm. And my grandmother, who had gone to Wellesley College in Massachusetts, had an alumni association that was looking for a fundraiser. And they knew that my granddad had, you know, a family farm. And they said, hey, can we sell some pecans for a fundraiser? And they said, sure. And so they sold them pecans. And then, you know, after a year or so, they said, well, maybe, you know, if they wanted pecans, maybe some other people would as well. And so that's kind of how Sunnyland Farm started. It started as just pecans in the shell. They expanded that to Start selling shelled pecans, and then from there it's just kind of grown to all different types of nuts, as well as, you know, cakes, cookies, candies, dried fruits, and so on. My dad came back. My mom came back in 1978, and he is now, you know, as you mentioned earlier, the president, CEO, and running the company. And he managed, as when my grandparents were still alive, he managed the farming aspect of the company for, you know, 40 years. And so he planted new trees. He turned over our groves from some older varietals to some newer varietals. And then Stacy and I just recently came back in 2015 and have been, you know, really full-fledged in trying to, you know, improve our online experience and modernize the business in a way to just kind of take us forward.
Well, that's about right, because you've got a business background. So I'm sure that's a welcome skill. We're after years of working in the finance business. That's very typical mini agricultural businesses. Mm-hmm. We interview a lot of winery producers, and often the offspring and siblings go work in finance and get a bigger perspective on how to revitalize a company. And it's been very beneficial. And it looks like you're doing that for Sunnyland. You have a very large, e-commerce presence, which I think is fabulous. I have a question for you. I have a lot of questions for you. So nuts, pecans and peanuts have long been a cash crop in Georgia, which is interesting. I'm fascinated by cash crops, because we were just in North Carolina. That was a cash crop. What does that mean to Georgia as much as it means to your local community?
Yeah, so, I mean, especially down in the southwest part of the state, and Stacey, you feel free to jump in if I'm talking too much here, but I think that, you know, obviously any kind of, you know, part of the state, Georgia is still very heavily agricultural.
Yeah.
It's our number one business, even though Atlanta's booming. The agriculture is still the number one producer of the state business-wise. And so peanuts, as you mentioned, pecans, blueberries to an extent are increasing, are just, you know, they drive a lot of the economics of the state, you know, and it doesn't, you know, you have the actual farmer who's growing the pecans, then you have, you know, the tractor dealer who's selling the tractors, you have the chemical producer who may be selling the fertilizers, you have all these different, you know, industries that are based around agriculture, whatever the product may be. And so, you know, when Georgia has a great pecan crop, everybody's happy. When Georgia has a bad pecan crop, everybody's not as happy. And, you know, I would imagine the same way for peanuts, cotton, and so on. And so, you know, a cash crop is just something that is heavily grown in an area, at least as I'm giving you my kind of interpretation of it, and what kind of drives the economy of a particular area of the state or country.
It's kind of like apples in the Hudson Valley, David, and potatoes.
And grapes also.
And grapes.
Places that make wine.
Yeah.
Grapes that make
and
wine.
Lately, in some areas, marijuana, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, that's Kentucky's number one cash crop.
I didn't know that. Are you kidding me?
Well, at least it used to be. Anyway.
I think one interesting point, too, here is that, Alex, was it 2 weeks ago that that Georgia proclaimed the pecan being the national nut of the state of Georgia, which – it wasn't prior to, 2 weeks ago, I think. And you would think, and the peanut guys, like, it was like this big thing between, like, peanuts, you know, peanut farmers and pecan farmers. Oh. But, you know, I mean, peanuts are actually, like, you know, a legume. So, but that was 2 weeks ago that they actually proclaimed, you know, the pecan is the official state nut, which,
what
you know,
took them so long?
Well, here's to the pecan.
I know. Probably because they didn't want to make the peanut guys mad. You know?
Right, exactly.
Peanuts are legumes. Let's just spill. Peanuts
right,
are legumes.
Right.
Well,
exactly. That's what yes, of course they are, you know, but anyway.
Well, if they were waiting for Jimmy Carter to die, it's never going to happen. He's going to live forever.
We hope so, because he's just an amazing guy.
Yeah, he really is.
Anyone that could go through what he's been through, goodness gracious, so amazing.
You know, guys, I want to talk about the pecan. You know, Melanie and I do a lot in the wine industry, and we cover wine a lot, so we're fascinated by everything that is grown to make wine and the grapes that are grown and how they grow and things like that. So let's talk about pecans and how they grow. They come off a tree, obviously. But what's the life cycle of the tree? What's the harvest situation like? Is it an annual crop? Things like that. We're fascinated about this because we really don't know much about pecans and growing pecans.
Sure. So you know, the life cycle of a tree, the con tree takes a little while longer than, say, you know, some other tree nuts that are smaller, almond, pistachio, things like that, maybe more of your California crops that come on, you know, start producing pretty heavily in 4 or 5 years. The con tree, to get any kind of real production, you know, takes 10, 12 years. The crop is actually, so you get it, you do get a crop every year. Traditionally, pecans have been, you know, what they call alternate bearing. So it would mean you'd have a great crop 1 year, and then the next year you might not have as good of a crop. Some new practices are not really that new, but they've been doing them out west for quite a while, but called hedging. So where you start, you know, keeping the trees a lot smaller, you don't let them get as large and unwieldy, and that allows you to, one, you might not get as many, you know, as many nuts per tree on a great year, but you can get more trees in per acre. You keep them hedged, so you keep a lot of airflow coming through your orchard, which the leaves get more sunlight, so you don't have these giant canopies where, you know, if you're trying to put younger trees in, they're not getting the sunlight because you have these huge trees blocking them out. And it allows you to just really manage that alternate bearing. So instead of kind of being these giant peaks and valleys, it's more like a gradual ebb and flow. And so you still have, you know, on and off years, but they're not as dramatic as maybe they've traditionally been. And then when it comes to actually harvesting the trees, that happens in the fall, usually, you know, on the East Coast, it starts in October, maybe late September with some of these new varieties. And then the process is that once the shuck splits, so a pecan is grown inside, it grows inside of a, you know, inside of a shell, but the shell also grows inside of a husk, and so, or a shuck. And so once the shuck splits, that means that, you know, the nut's ready to go, and you have a what's called a shaker. And a shaker actually just drives up next to the tree, and depending on the size of the tree, it grabs the trunk or it grabs one of the big arms. And it vibrates really fast, and it shakes it, and it really just rains pecans all over the place. And after you've done that, you have what's called a sweeper, and it sweeps the pecans into rows. And then a harvester will just run over the rows, and it kicks all of the nuts, ideally, into, you know, a wagon behind it. And then it kicks all the sticks and rocks and stuff, you know, back out into the field. And so that's the process.
It sounds kind of like olives.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, we were in Tuscany for olives, and there was like these hoses that rained olives on us.
And then they gathered them in a big net underneath the tree and then put them all in rows. Yeah, it's fun.
So you were saying?
Some guys are trying to do that with pecans. They're even planting them in tighter and tighter and tighter, and they're keeping them really tightly hedged. And they're instead of letting them even hit the ground, they have these big baskets, kind of like olives or pistachios, and they're shaking them directly into the baskets to try to take that process of running over and sweeping it into rows up. And that's a very newer practice as well.
You know, Melanie, you and I actually saw something similar to that when we were in Europe, because a lot of the orchards in Europe for apples and pears and things like that now are starting to hedge their trees and keep them much closer together. It hasn't happened so much. We don't see it in the Hudson Valley in New York or in the U.S., but they're very much hedged over in Europe so that they have a much more trees, more density to the plantings, and then they can also manage the canopy a lot better. We've seen that a lot. You know, Alex, you were talking about good years, bad years, and whatnot. What are some of the challenges to growing pecans
particularly with climate change,
from a pest standpoint, and from a climate change standpoint, et cetera?
Yeah. So pests, the biggest issue we have, you know, where we are is humidity. Mm-hmm. And so what we get is a fungus called scab. And it eats at the leaves, it eats at, you know, the shuck on the nut. And so part of a reason why people have started hedging, as I kind of mentioned, is to not only let the light get in, so the orchards dry out after heavy rain, but also, you know, winds do just as good of a job, if not better of a job, of drying your orchard out, as the sunlight does. And so, of course, you know, that's one of the big issues we have. Most recently, we have, as you mentioned, whether it's climate change or whatever it is, increased storms. So it seems like every fall, we're all sitting around watching the Weather Channel on which storm is going which way. And in 2018, we took a pretty big hit from Hurricane Michael, even though we're, over 100 miles inland. And we lost, 4,100 trees. And so that's been, and then of course, not only do you lose the trees and the productions for the next decade, you have to clean up and do all of that. So we're constantly watching storms, whether they, will become more severe and trying to deal with that. But on just a typical growing, our biggest issues are, one, are you going to get enough rain? Two, are you going to get enough sun? Because you can do everything right, and it's still agriculture. So there's still some variables that you just can't control. But the biggest things we have issues with are managing, managing scab, and then also especially in what we call the fill out stage. So pecans go through, right now we've just gotten done pollinating, and so the nuts are going to start forming. Then you'll go through what's called the sizing phase, and that's when they're actually growing. So the nuts get however big they're going to be for that year. And then right before it's about to start harvesting, so maybe 4 or 6 weeks before harvest, is what they call the fill out stage. And so the nuts formed. Now it's time for the shell of the nuts formed. The size is going to be there. Now it's time for the actual meat that you eat to fill out. And during that fill out stage, you need lots of sunshine and you need lots of water for it to fill out. And so if you don't get good sun, so if it's overcast for 3 straight weeks, or if you don't get good rains, then your fill out won't be great. When you go to harvest, you'll have all these nuts, but when you start bringing them through, there'll be what we call pops, and there will be just like this shriveled up little nut inside of this beautiful shell, and you can't do anything with it.
I've had shriveled nuts, and they're not great.
Yes.
We'd like to
they're not enjoyable, no. That's right.
I think one thing, Alex, that we can say here too is that, irrigation is so huge for the groves. And your dad was actually, Larry Wilson was actually one of the first ones in the industry to implement irrigation back in the 1970s. Like before that, the water sun component is so huge for pecan fill out. And so he implemented, one of the first irrigation systems in the groves, which Alex actually had a summer job doing that out here in the grove. So he has hands-on experience with irrigating the groves. And I wanted to say one more thing about the husk and the shell. That's one thing where we do deal with scab, which is the issue with pecan trees. But the husk and the shell are all protective coat. They're two protective coatings before you get to the actual pecan. So that, it's almost like, it's better than a banana, if you will. And that's why, as far as organic versus non-organic, pecans actually have two protective shellings as opposed to, a lot of others. So I just think that's important to point out that it's protected from any kind of, things that we have going on in the grove. So
that's really interesting. You very kindly sent us. So, we got this big box of yummies from Sunnyland Farms, and this is a good, it's Sunnyland Farms, Sunnyland makes you happy, like Happy Land, sunnylandfarms.com. So,
Well, I have to say they actually kind of ruined it for me as well, because
why?
I never want to have anything but pecan butter now.
Oh, I know. So it's as so we were getting ready to say, so this is what we got, and we'll talk about it, because you make a lot of different products. We got these different sizes of pecans, from mammoth to pieces. And we'll talk about the different kinds of pecans in a minute. And then we got this amazing pecan butter, which was the best thing ever. And then we got pecan meal, which we've had friends make chocolate chip cookies. David actually puts it on his yogurt. It was delicious. Mm-hmm. We've coated it with catfish.
We found many uses.
Yeah, many, because I don't always just want cookies. So it's fun to try different things. We're still working on that, but you have a lot of good recipes on the website. We haven't tried the pecan oil, but that sounds delicious. I'm curious, to make all these products, do much in the way, same way we learned about oysters. We were at Casamento's in New Orleans, and the shucker said, well, these big ones are the ones you eat, and these are the ones that go into the oyster po' boy. And he kind of delineated, these are the ones you char grill. Do you have different kinds of pecans for different uses?
Absolutely. We grow, Alex, correct me if I'm wrong, but we grow up to 7 different cultivars or varietals here. And the desirable is is the largest one. It's like the big, huge pecan half, probably the biggest you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. And we also have another varietal is called the Elliott. And the difference in most of pecan varietals out there, and a lot of people, consumers, don't realize this, but different pecan varietals have different oil contents. Mm-hmm. And so the oil in, say, an Elliott pecan, which is in the industry called a junior pecan, is actually really, really high. So you get a different, just like, it's just, you get this different taste on the palate, from that to a desirable. A desirable is very nutty and hearty, but the Elliott is just very, a lot of chefs like it because it just has this more delicate, delicate, bright flavor, if you will. But I would say we have up to 7 varietals. Is that right, Alex? Like the Cape Fear, Elliott, Desirable, Miller. Tell me the ones I'm forgetting, Alex. I'm forgetting 3 more.
Yeah. No, I mean, we primarily grow Desirables and Elliott's, and those are the two mainly sell. As Stacey mentioned, the Elliott is kind of the junior pecan half. It's the one that people like because of the oil content. We also grow Desirable, and then to mainly kind of talk about how we would produce them for different uses is, if we're producing the goal when you're in the shelling industry. So we're growers, but we also shell the pecan to actually get them out of the shell for you to eat. And the goal is to always produce a half. For whatever reason, halves are in the commercial market, you get a better price, so on and so forth. But of course, whenever you're cracking nuts, it's not an exact science, and so you create lots of pieces. So what we do is, any of the halves that we make, we, of course, sell as our halves as long as they meet our quality specs. The junior halves, we sell as juniors, and then pieces we make into different sizes, and so people can actually, toss pieces on salad or make pies with pieces if you like, and things like that. And so the pieces really just come from different different types of nuts that are grown. Then we run over our sizer, and then we sell them so people can just use pieces instead of halves. So the worst thing that any kind of person in the pecan industry sees is, like, you look at a cookbook and let's say whatever, you're making a pecan pie, and it says take 2 cups of pecan half and dice, and you're just like, oh my God, you can just buy them like that. Don't do that. That's crazy. So,
yeah.
So that's kind of what we do in terms of shelling them and providing them for different uses.
It's so interesting because we were able to taste the different ones, and you do want to use them for different purposes. I mean, those big mammoth ones were amazing.
They were delicious.
They were really meaty, like really meaty. And we do want to point out that pecans are very nutritious. We're big nut eaters. And, I also point out you do sell other products as well as pecans at Sunnyland Farms. But pecans are, this is an interesting fact, they have, they're high in omega-3 healthy fats, which they're also high in antioxidants, which is great. They contain, and this is from your website, 19 more vitamins and minerals, including folic acid, zinc, potassium, vitamin A, vitamin E, and magnesium. Great source of plant-based protein. Yay for the vegans. Good source of oleic acid, vitamin B1, thiamine, magnesium, and protein. And research conducted by the University of Georgia has confirmed that pecans plants contain plant sterols, which are known for their cholesterol-lowering ability. As we tend to put nuts in everything we do, they also have just the most incredible flavor. Could be one of my favorite nuts besides the macadamia and the pistachio.
Well, one of my favorite cookies growing up, my mother was a huge cookie baker, and one of my favorites was her Mexican wedding cakes that she made with pecans, always, only pecans. Just my favorite cookie.
I love
of all time.
Those.
Yes.
Perfect.
Just fabulous.
We need to hire you guys as spokespeople for the industry.
Well,
Done. We'll
you
talk.
Know, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we did not know this before we started researching you guys for this show, but it's actually a member of the hickory nut family, and the hickory tree family, the pecan tree is. Mm-hmm. So being from the Northeast, we had a lot of hickory trees in our yard when we were living up in the Hudson Valley.
But you can't eat any of those nuts.
You can. They are
you
edible.
Can?
Yes,
really?
Absolutely.
Oh,
and I found a recipe for hickory nut pie, although the hickory nuts were so hard to get out of the shell that I never bothered to make it. But the pecan is actually a member of the hickory family. So there's a wider wider scope that it comes from.
Well, I grew up in the South. I'm from Chattanooga originally and lived in Atlanta, so I'm a Southerner through and through. And we've been traveling the South quite a bit, Alex and Stacey. And so we've had a lot of pecans because we were actually in North Carolina at the State Farmers Market buying pecans before we knew about you. But we were buying because we love to buy from farmers. Which leads us to the fact that we want to underscore that you are a farm, you're a family business, and I read, and you've got a lot of employees, but everything's done still fairly the old-fashioned way. So talk about the culture of Sunnyland Farms, because you've got a lot of tenured employees, it's a small town, you're probably the biggest employer, but a lot of things are done the old-fashioned way. So talk to us about that.
Stacey, you want me to do this? We're a good size employer in Albany. We've been around obviously for a long time. At this point, we're not the biggest. We've got a P&G plant and we got a MillerCoors plant here, but we are a pretty big employer. We have, and we flex up especially during harvest and kind of our two big events happen at the same time. You've got our pecan harvest, which is in the fall, and then of course. A lot of e-commerce and retail in general is very busy in the fourth quarter because of the holidays. So,
right.
So come Q4, we are extremely busy. And so, we have probably, I'd say 85, 90 people out here currently, and then we'll get up to, 180 or so, in the fall. And we start adding people, in the next couple of weeks actually to start getting ready for all of that. But we do still make, a lot of our candies and confections the old-fashioned way. We don't have a whole lot of automation. And so when we're making cakes, we're lining cakes with pieces by hand. We're putting batter in. We've increased our capacity by buying a second industrial oven, but we are still doing things, hand-dipping things like glacé apricots and chocolate. We're at the point where we think that, that's becoming harder to find, and we really think that that's one of the differentiators that we still maintain. It's tough for businesses like us to compete with behemoths like Walmart or Amazon and things like that. So we have to separate ourselves on a couple of different things, and we preach it to everyone, and everyone here buys in that it's our quality and our customer service. And as soon as either one of those goes downhill, then we'll be in trouble as a company. And so one way you maintain quality is making sure that you're hands-on and taking a look at every single product that gets out of here. And so so we do still do things pretty manually, and that can cause us some bottlenecks sometimes, but we're adjusting on the fly, and we've gotten better at doing it as we go along.
Well, your catalog's cute. Your catalog, just to interject, your catalog is cute because I think you have a photograph of every single employee in the catalog. I mean, we saw a lot of photographs.
Yeah. We have a lot. We have that on the right-hand side. That started, my grandparents started that. And it started kind of, the catalog started with just a letter from my granddad about the family. And then it just expanded to the entire Sunnyland family. So we're a small business. We're a small family-owned business. We kind of think of all of our employees as family, and we feel that, we can't do what we do without them, and they deserve the spotlight. And our customers really respond to that. They love seeing people, being recognized. And, we think it's just a really cool thing that lets people take kind of a glimpse into our company who may not know us.
We thought it was kind of cute. I mean, it really was. And Stacey, you were getting ready to add something.
I was just going to add that, the handmade portion of our products and our pecans, like when we say tree to table, is something that, we adhere to, and we have our hands in every bit of the process. A lot of people in the industry are either growers or shellers, and we are both. And all the way down to, if you order a box of pecans from us, a human eye is making sure that every single one of those pecans in your box has been, looked at and picked through and made sure that pecan half is the most perfect pecan half that we could possibly give you. And I think that that's huge that, we still hand, like the human eye is still looking and making sure that the quality is there. And the tree to table thing is just, so important knowing where your food is coming from. And that's something we really pride ourselves in.
And, you know, Melanie, in the days of Costco and bulk buying, I think that's a very important point to make as well.
Well, we like buying. Yeah. We like buying from the farmer whenever we can. I think that it's always special. We're curious, you know, what are some of your best sellers?
So our best seller is still a 3-pound box of raw mammoth pecan halves. So we sell a lot of things, but that's how we started, and that's still the seller, the best seller. That is actually followed directly by what is called our heavenly mix, and it is not quite 25% each of these four nuts, but it's very close. So it's toasted and salted pecans. It is dry roasted and salted macadamias. It is toasted or roasted and salted nonpareil almonds, and roasted and salted mammoth 210 per pound cashews. So it is it's different than a lot of the mixes you find out there, because it's a quarter macadamias, and people skimp on the macs because the macs are really expensive.
Oh, they sure are expensive. Are. Even in Hawaii, when we go to Hawaii, we can't even afford the macadamia nuts, but they are good.
Yeah, so it's got macadamias and pecans are half of the mix, and those are the two most expensive nuts. And so that one is our best seller when it comes to our roasted and salted products.
Well, and I think too, even then, like the cashews in that sense, Alex, like when we order cashews from a cashew farmer, we are bringing those in and running them through our toaster and our salter. So we're getting, you know, still looking at the product that we're sending our customers. So,
keep going.
I was going to say, the main thing, you know, just like we're growing and only providing the highest quality pecan, same deal for everything else. So your industry standard, like if you go to the store and buy cashews, is what's called a 320. And that basically just means it's 320 cashews per pound or somewhere in that ramp. And so what we're buying are 210. So they're bigger. They're 210 per pound. Same with macadamias. We're buying what's called a style 0 or style 1, whereas your industry standard is a style 3 or style 4. So we're buying the best that we can find. We're paying premium products to either the farmer or the broker who's then paying the farmer that we can find. So we're kind of just passing that along. In addition to we're trying to find and grow the best pecans, we're going to try and find and grow and find the best of everything else we grow, whether it's a piece of dried fruit or a nut or whatever it is.
Well, here's something interesting. We were with a friend who's embracing the keto diet a few days ago, and we were getting the whole carb, the carb count with everything. First of all, our pecans, where do pecans stand among other nuts in the low carb keto friendly diet? And has changing patterns in consumers' diet habits affected your business?
So,
I would say that biggest thing is gluten free. The fact that they're gluten free is a big thing. But go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, the gluten-free, the non-GMO, and a lot of these things are just inherently, you know, people think of gluten. They hear these buzzwords, and basically all pecans are gluten-free. There's no gluten in them. they're not genetically modified. They're nuts, no, right? So, I mean, but we say it because people ask it, and they want to know, and so you just put the copy on your website now, so you know. But in terms of carbs, it's just like other nuts. It doesn't have many carbs. It's more of a protein. It's got high, you know, it's high in the good fats. But we do see,
that's the fat that helps reduce insulin levels.
Right.
So that's
right.
Why, like on the keto diet, that's huge. Yes. Pecans are really high in that satiating fat. So it really does reduce the insulin levels. So.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you should eat an entire jar of them in one sitting.
No.
Either, because you can't have
calories. Sure, of course not. Moderation and everything.
That's pecan overload.
That's pecan overload.
Right. But your body, you know, just like anything else, you know, like eating an avocado, right? I mean, it may be high in calories and high in fat, but your body is going to metabolize a pecan or an avocado much differently than the same amount of calories of, you know, potato chips or french fries or something like that. So. We do see, you know, raw nuts have picked up, especially during quarantine when people were focusing on. It's interesting. Quarantine was a couple of different phases. You had at first, quarantine was just like, okay, we're going to buy cakes and candy and we don't care. We're going to sit here. And then as it dragged on, it became like, oh, maybe we should actually, order some some snack mix and some raw nuts instead of cakes. And so
do a yoga class.
So we have seen some of that. That's right.
And now it's just, can I just have the nuts and go keto friendly because I gained 12 pounds during COVID because I ate all those snacks and nuts and baked cookies all the time. There was definitely, one day we'll all look back and reflect on the eating patterns that we all, and cooking patterns that we all embraced during our stay-at-home lives. Quite interesting. You know, here's a fun thing. So Albany, I've not been to Albany. I was doing a little research under ExploreGeorgia.org. Did you know, David, that Albany is the home to music icon Ray Charles?
I did not.
No. Tell us more about Albany. Can you, in normal times, can you actually visit Sunnyland Farms and do a factory or any kind of special tour?
You can. We love having people out here. We welcome visitors. We're a little off the beaten path, but if you come by, we actually have had people drive from Chicago, you know, just to come see us. They've been ordering from us for 30 years, and you know, we're like, you came here just for this, and that was really cool. And so we take them out in the grove, show them the trees, take them through our shelling plant, let them watch the cracking, the shelling, the inspection. We do the whole nine yards if people come to see us. And we love to see our customers or just anybody stopping by.
Well, we wanted to pay a visit. Yeah, it is home to Ray. There's Ray Charles Plaza with a lifestyles. And this is interesting also, you know, there's these warm springs around Georgia because FDR went there. There's one in Albany. It's called Radium Springs Garden. It's named one of Georgia's seven natural wonders. So
Alex
kind of interesting.
Alex grew up swimming in that. Alex grew up swimming in Radium Springs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they don't let you swim in that anymore. That's right. But yeah, it's actually where the Floridian Aquifer comes up, and it's that one's actually a cold springs, but it's the bluest of blue, and the Native Americans who lived here called it Skywater because it's so blue.
Oh, that's so neat.
It looks like a beautiful place.
Brewery. Yeah, and the local brewery, Pretoria Fields, actually has named a beer after it called Skywater. It's one of their bigger sellers.
Yeah, so, there's a craft brewery.
And you said you had a Miller Coors plant there,
yeah,
too. So.
Yeah, large oak trees.
Well, you need beer to wash down those nuts, right?
Yeah, beer nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It looks like a beautiful place to visit when we travel around because we love those big old oaks. We have a special place in our heart for big oak trees when we travel.
Well, we've got lots of those.
Yeah. It sounds like it. So, Stacy, you joined into the family. What was it like? Where are you from originally?
I grew up mostly in Virginia and then moved my way. Then I went to Alex and I met in Nashville. That's where Alex and I met and got married. And I remember asking Alex before we got married if he would ever join the family business. And, I mean, at the time, he was working for, I think it was Morgan Stanley. And he said he would never rule it out. Like, he would never say, no, I won't, you know. And prior to us getting married, I knew that meant we would probably end up here. And that was, you know, I think that was just really cool, you know. And we moved out. We did a little stint in Atlanta, and then we came down here in 2015. And my background is the food industry, so it was just kind of a natural transition for me to, because I mean, at home I was playing around with recipes, and I'm a big cook, and I love to style food, and I love, you know, marketing and all that good stuff. So I got involved and started to create a few recipes, especially for like the spring and summer, because our products can get a little they're very, you know, holiday, you think pecans and holidays and whatnot. So came in and kind of developed a like limoncello cake with almonds, just like a lighter springtime flair. And it's been wonderful. It's been a great place to continue the family legacy and be involved in agriculture like that. You know, it's just pretty, it's just very exciting to be on the front lines of agriculture like this. So that's how I got involved with the family.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting, your food background. I mean, yeah, a lot of people always think about pecan pie, pecan cookies, and we like savory. So we like to toss pecans in salad. We do put it in our yogurt. The pecan meal, as we said, we coated it with catfish. We'd like to play around with it a little more. We're still learning about the pecan meal. And, you know, of course, who doesn't love butter pecan ice cream?
True.
You know, personal favorite. So I think Absolutely. That, you know, they need to be thought about year-round, even though they make great Christmas gifts. But
and let's talk about year-round, because pecans obviously are harvested once a year.
Right.
So there's must be a lifespan to them. At some point, they start to get old or the oils start to go rancid.
Right.
So how do you best store a pecan if it's not late fall and you just got it off the market?
Yeah, so
Alex.
The thing that makes pecans so good, in our humble opinion, is that higher oil content, right? So if you compare something like a pecan to something like an almond, you know, an almond is a drier nut. You can put an almond out, it'll taste like an almond for quite a long time. Pecan, you know, a pecan ideally is stored in a cool place. If it's out of the shell, which most people are buying pecans already shelled, just the meats only, if you're going to use them, you know, within a couple of weeks, storing them in your pantry is okay. Ideally, it's better to store in your refrigerator. But realistically, if you're going to store them for any kind of long period of time, is you want to keep them in your freezer. They'll stay fresh there for, you know, months, even a year, really, if you pull it out, if you just leave it there in a deep freeze. But if you leave it out at like a room temperature, especially depending on the variety, if it's one of these higher oil content varieties like an Elliott or a Sly, it's got a lot of oil, it will go rancid much quicker. And so one of the things, you know, we make sure with all of our boxes, we include storage instructions so people know how to store them. But as an industry, we're also trying to educate, you know, people like your Costco's, your Walmart's, your Kroger's, on how to store pecans before you put them on the shelf. Like, you don't just need to leave if you buy, you know, 20 pallets of pecans for the holiday season and you get them in August or September or whatever it is. You don't need to leave them, you know, in just a non-climate controlled environment for 3 months. You need to store them in a cool place so they don't go rancid. So unfortunately, I think a lot of times people's only experience with pecan is possibly with a pecan that's less than its optimum quality. And so that's something as an industry we're trying to change.
Well, I think it's important because I got to tell you the biggest, and we won't say who, but we were eating here in New York at one of my favorite salad places and the nuts were rancid. They were pine nuts, I think.
No, they were sunflower seeds.
They were sunflower. Well, the sunflower seeds were just, you know, there's nothing worse than biting into a salad and getting that rancid thing going on. It drives, and it happens more times than you can imagine, probably as much as corked wine. So I think knowing how to properly store nuts and the meat, what about the pecan meal, you have to refrigerate? Can you freeze it? Tell us about that.
Same kind of storage. Yeah. Okay. If you're going to use it, you know, it's the same components. It's just further broken down into small granules. So yeah, you still want to store it the same way.
At the end of the day, like a good wine and other kinds of technically perishable thing. You know what, things that just languish on your shelf or your refrigerator, whether it's butter, nut butter, or the nut itself, or anything. Just eat it. Don't keep it forever.
Really, the best thing to do is not buy huge amounts that you have to store for a long time. Just buy it on a regular basis.
Yeah,
and
just
keep
buy it
on
a regular basis.
That's right.
Yeah.
So do you have a frequent shopper club?
Right.
We don't yet, but that's actually something we're looking into doing.
Yeah, you should, like a wine club.
Creating
right?
Yeah, exactly. And just kind of like an automatic ship every 6 weeks or something like that as well. Because we offer things from 1 pound up to 25 pounds. So like you do get a great deal, just like anything, if you buy in bulk. But when you're buying in bulk, we want to make sure that, hey, you can't just put these in your
So I have one last question. Do you sell direct to consumer only, or do you also sell to restaurants?
We sell primarily to consumer only. Okay. We do have a wholesale business, and our wholesale business, because we're a shelling plant, is only pecans. So the only thing we wholesale is pecans. And so in that end, we have some restaurants that are customers. We have some, you know, other kind of candy makers that are customers. But yeah, so to answer your question, we do have some restaurants that are customers. Absolutely.
That's good to know. Well, this has been so. At the end of the day, one last final. How do you? I learned here. There's pecan. There's pecan. I didn't even knew about pecan. Some people say pecan, and you know, we're pecan. You say pecan, right?
We do.
We say pecan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say pecan. My grandfather or my dad, they say you can call them whatever you want as long as you buy them from us. and then That's most perfect. Recently, I heard the Commissioner of Agriculture for the state of Georgia, Gary Black, mentioned at a pecan event, somebody asked him, how do you say it? And he said, when they're over $3 a pound, we call them pecans. And when they're under $3 a pound, we call them pecans. So that's kind of his humorous answer to that. So.
Well, it's a state nut, and we're nuts about them.
Yeah, we're officially members of the Sunnyland Pecan Posse right now. So
yeah,
so
yeah.
We've converted.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we love it. Alex, Stacy Wilson, it's been so great to talk to you today, and we can't wait to come visit you in person.
And be your brand ambassador.
Yeah,
thank you for joining
Thank
us.
You so much.
And for our listeners,
pleasure.
We hope that you enjoyed this incredibly nutty and delicious conversation about one of our favorite food items, nuts. And now you know more about where they came from and how they're cultivated, because it's important to know where your food is grown and harvested. You've been listening to The Connected Table Live with Melanie Young and David Ransom. Follow us on Instagram at The Connected Table, Twitter Connected Table, and of course, listen to all our podcasts and share them with your friends, because we love our listeners and we want to share with everybody all the things that make the world delicious, right?
Absolutely, Melanie. And we need to shout out that it's sunnylandfarms.com.
Sunnylandfarms.com.
So for anybody interested, to go to their website, and they'd be happy to help you out getting some pecans to your door. Thanks for listening, folks. It was a great show, Alex and Stacy, and we look forward to coming to visit you, as I said. And take care, everybody. Have a great
week. And as everyone stay insatiably curious.